When we were talking about the possibility of doing some devotional time this week in the chapel, one of the things that that we know is that for some of us, we are very much first day of the week folks. That for a lot of us, when we think about Easter, we think about we don't think about Easter very much. We don't. I don't know about you. I was raised sort of in my non-Christmas, non-Easter tradition, which is interesting to you, I'm sure. But we also know that in our congregation and in our community, there are many people who hear about the coming of the Lord in Christmas and hear about the sacrifice of the Lord in Easter, and they hear that so clearly. And some of you have come out of religious traditions or are in religious traditions where those days, even though Sunday is a very good day, that there's still that annual rhythm of devotion in your life. And so we don't want to seem unreligious. We don't want to seem as if those things are just trifles to us. That's meaningful also to us. And so this week is a very special week, I think, in some ways. The devotionals at 7 o'clock in the morning and the ones at noon are identical. They're the same. It's not two separate things. If you can come early, that's great. If you can come at noon, that's great. If you can't come at all, may God bless you in all of your ways. But we wanted to have this as an opportunity for special devotion. I'm looking forward to the Passover meal. I've never done one. That fits my former discussion. I've never gotten to do this, and we're going to do this, and some great people here in the church are helping that, and it'll be good. Now we have moved through our time this morning, and I want you to just relax. Okay, I know what time it is. You don't have to worry about what time it is. And remember what I said years ago. I don't have to preach a long time for it to seem like forever. Give us this day our daily bread. Do you know how many people there are in the world today for whom that is the greatest challenge? How many people there are in our community who don't know where their daily bread is coming from? How many of us have entered into the minds and the hearts of a young mother or father who looks at children not knowing where their daily bread will come from? And so it is not a trifle. On the plains of the Sudan, in the tsunami-cleared communities of Japan, in the deep, poor pockets of Austin, it is no small matter to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And if you woke up this morning in a home where you have never, ever wondered about where your daily bread would come from, you are most blessed and should be most thankful. Jesus talks to His disciples and He says, this is a legitimate part of your prayer. If you're honoring the Father who is the Father in heaven, and if you are opening yourself to receive His kingdom rule in your heart, so that it might be on earth in you as it is in heaven, then you need to know there's abundance in heaven. And you can pray for God to visit His abundance into your daily life, your daily bread. This morning in Bible class, we talked about what it's like to live life so daily I wanted to read a story. It's not one of those happy stories. I want to read you a story about give us this day our daily bread and the provision of the Lord. I'll let you figure out where it's from. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath and came to the town gate. A widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" And she was going to get it. And as she was going, he called, "Bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm out here gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on all the land.'" And she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This day, our daily bread, and then we die. That story is interrupted by another story. Elijah brings his story into this woman's life, and his story is a story of faith and God's provision and God's abundance. His story comes into her life, and now her story is interrupted by Elijah, and now her day, that is a day of sadness and death, a last supper to be sure, is now interrupted, and everything that has gone before is now different. And now she is a part of God's gracious provision, and now she is caught up into a future that she did not anticipate having. Because the Lord God came and gave her her daily bread. And the next day, her daily bread. And the next day, her daily bread. When Jesus tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," I think He knows that in our being suddenly kingdom-seeking people, that we are having the same thing done to us that happened to the widow in Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. Is that we who have been on short rations, we who are gathering twigs to cook our last meal, we who cannot satisfy the longings of our own heart, suddenly find ourselves as individuals who are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain, and He's telling us about the kingdom rule of God that is coming, and it's coming right at us, and when it comes with blessing, and it changes everything about our life. It changes everything about our life, because this is more than about what's happening at Mrs. Baird's. This is also about what's happening in our spiritual life. As Craig read, as we heard from Bill, the Lord's table devotion, Jesus Christ has come. Not as the manna in the wilderness that comes and is evaporated at the end of the day, but He comes as the bread of life coming down from heaven, who is bread indeed and drink indeed. Jesus comes as the bread of life. And as He is on the mount and He says, you need to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. He knows in His heart that He is that bread. And so I want to pray two prayers out of this prayer. Give me this day my daily bread, my daily bread. English muffin, well toasted, layer of peanut butter, blackberry jelly. Give me that. Give me my daily sustenance. Give me my air, my water, my daily ration. But give me Jesus. There's a song that says, I can't remember all of it, but in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Beatitude says. And the Beatitude is not just a hungering and thirsting after bread, but a hungering and thirsting after God. So, how do we do that? How do we pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and rely on God for our bread, and rely on God for our spiritual strength, and keep ourselves within the boundaries of the day? We talked about this a little bit in class this morning, but I need to preach and turn the volume up a little bit on that. Because you see, we're not just in a day. We're in a story. We're not just in a day. We're in a drama. We're in a film. We're in a movie. We're in something with sweep and saga about it. There's something where there's something you can say about the past, and there's something you can say about the future, and the past wants to influence today, and the future wants to influence today. And what do we do today to make today a day where we don't worry about what we need, where we don't let yesterday's or tomorrow's pollute the moment? What do we do? Now, let me just suggest a couple of things. But I'm not just pulling it out of the air. I've got some ideas. When Peter preaches on Pentecost, and the people who are there are going, what do we do? We have killed the Lord's Messiah. And they're not asking what religious thing they can do. They're asking basically, where can we run? Where do we hide? What do we do from God's wrath that must be about to be poured out in His righteous anger over our actions toward His Son? But Peter says, have you decided you'd like to be in God's story? That's what repent means. That repent means you've been in your own story. Would you like to turn and be in God's story? Would you like to change the plot line of your life? Would you like to be in God's story? Repent. You can be baptized. You can let this day be a day of new beginning, of washing, of cleansing, of borrowing from Paul's language, a day of being buried with Christ and raised with Christ. And when that happens, when that burial happens and that resurrection happens, God is going to give you two gifts. The first gift is going to have to do primarily with what you're going to do about yesterdays and all your yesterdays to come. Because God is going to give you the sweet gift of forgiveness. And when you've received forgiveness, then everything you've ever done wrong no longer has a hook in your soul. You're going to remember it, perhaps. But the pain of it, the regret of it, the shame of it, the guilt of it, you can let that go. And in the marvelous ongoing cleansing of the blood of Christ, tomorrow you get to do that with today. That if you continue to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, then the blood of Christ is going to continue cleansing you from your sins, and there will not be a sin in your life that will rip a hole in your soul. As you continue to live in the forgiveness of God, your yesterdays will not become toxic in your today. He says the second thing the Lord God is going to do for you is He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is all about today and the future. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God, the very person of God that's going to come into your life, and God is going to begin transforming you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is busy doing some things. The Holy Spirit is going to take you from the waters of baptism and escort you into the gates of heaven. You have a divine escort. From the day you are born in Christ until you walk into the gates of heaven. You're now a part of that story, that Spirit-escorted, Spirit-indwelt, Spirit story. And what the Spirit does is basically gives you the ability not to worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let God's presence be with you today. Let the Lord Christ be with you today. Let the Spirit work in you today. And because you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Why? I just asked that kind of rhetorical why. I'm really glad Jeremiah didn't yell out. I always love people to answer rhetorical questions. This is why I think. Because the Holy Spirit is going to be in you always, praying the things you don't even know how to pray. And so in this day, you're already, by the grace of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're living in a prayed up day. Not only that, but in Romans 8:28 says that the Spirit is involved deeply in warping the future so that everything that happens to you is overwhelmed by the goodness and good purposes of God. That all things, in all things, God is going to work for the good of those who love Him and who seek His appearing and who are being worked into the image of Christ. I don't need to worry about tomorrow because what I'm doing today, the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, is going to work into a great story, a great outcome, a successful end to my story. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry enough about itself. That's right. But I find myself having no capacity to live like I have no yesterdays and like I have no tomorrows. How I can live and how I think we all can live is knowing that by the blood of Christ, my yesterdays and all of their pain is dealt with, paid up. And I can live in this moment knowing that God is at work in me in this day, giving me my bread, giving me my living bread in Christ, giving me all that I need, and now, guaranteeing that the future will be a good story. I don't need to worry about me making the future a good story. God's already guaranteed that as painful as today is, as many questions as there are in it, he's guaranteed, if you stay with him to the end, it's a good story. So, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And those who sit on the mountain and receive the kingdom can pray that prayer. And those who've been washed in the blood of Christ and raised in the power of the resurrection can pray that prayer. We all pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. If you need to come to Jesus, come. Let's stand and sing together.